spirit and in truth. I'm not the standard. I remind you of that every week. Religious truth will never be settled upon what I think about the matter, how I see it, or what I feel about it, or what you think, see, or feel. It always be settled upon what the Scriptures say. And so I appreciate if you'll take your Bible out, be a good student of the Bible, and follow along with me. Make sure that what you're hearing is in harmony with the Word of God. The topic is on the board this morning, attitudes and actions toward the Word of God. Every one of us and every individual that you come in contact with, that you try to share what the Bible says with, will react to it one way or another. They'll have an action or attitude relative to what the Bible says. We've got to keep that in mind and keep that in check with ourselves to make sure that our actions and our attitudes are in a positive way when it comes to the Word of God and not a negative way. So we'll look at both negative and positive actions and attitudes toward the Word of God. The first one I want to share with you comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. Or 22 rather, when the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And so it's possible that an individual can be a doer of the word, or an individual can fail to be a doer of the word. And James, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, admonishes us to be doers of the word, and not hearers only. He goes on to say, "If any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man that beholdeth his face in his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth his face and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso continueth in the word, being a doer of it, not a forgetful hearer, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so you got to be, if you want to be pleasing to God, a doer of the word. If you hear it and fail to do it, heaven will never be your eternal home or my eternal home. For the Lord said, Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." A lot of folks today say, "Lord, Lord," but they fail to do. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? That doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." How are you doing with being a doer of the word? But also, as you think about attitudes and actions, I want to point out to you that you can receive not the words of Jesus. You know, there are folks today who will not have what the Bible teaches. You can read it to them. They can read it in the Bible for themselves, but they say, "I will not have that. I will not believe it." Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." We're doing a 3-part series on the radio program, out of Pasadena right now, a 15-minute program, on "Do you believe God?" When Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," do you believe Him? A lot of folks say, "I won't have that." But the Lord said that. When the Bible says that there is but one church, over and over the Bible emphasizes that. Ephesians 4:3-4. A lot of folks say, "I don't believe that. I won't have it." And so a lot of folks receive not the Word of God. Again, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, as he's talking about the Word of God, "Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." Folks, if you don't receive it and obey it, you'll not be saved. Neither will I if I fail to do those things. But also, you may be aware of the fact that the Lord said that some could be ashamed of the Word. Have you ever met anyone who is ashamed of the Word of God? Oh, maybe not in private, maybe not sitting at home behind the computer screen, but you get them in person and somehow or another, they become spiritually tongue-tied. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, as he's talking about the Word and not being ashamed of it, notice what he says, Mark 8, verse 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me," and didn't stop there, "whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, some in Jesus' day could be ashamed of the Word. Some today could be ashamed of the Word. And so Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, penned these words, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Don't be ashamed of it. And you know what the Bible says? Be bold about it. Be kind. Be tactful. But be bold about it. Preach what the Bible says, regardless of whether someone's going to like you or dislike you. Preach it anyway. Don't be ashamed if you're ashamed of it. And that text in Mark 8:38 says He'll be ashamed of you when He comes back again. But also we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in verse 8 something else that can be done with the Word. I pray to always be busy about doing this individually, collectively. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul's writing to the Christians at Thessalonica. And he says, "For from you sounded out." What sounded out from them? What they thought, what they felt, what the culture of the time wanted to hear. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. We've got to be concerned about getting the message of this book to those about us. And I hope we'll do that individually with every opportunity we have, and that we'll do it collectively with every opportunity that God blesses us with. When Paul's writing to them, he says that they sounded out the word of the Lord. He says, we don't even need to say anything about it. Folks have heard about what you're doing. And in 2 Timothy 4:2, a very simple statement. Preach the word. That is something that is a timeless statement of inspiration to every gospel preacher. Preach the word. A lot of folks do a lot of preaching today, but they're not preaching the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Sound forth the Word. But also, individuals can turn away from the Word. I don't know the number of studies I've had with individuals. At the end of the study, they in essence say, "Thanks, but no thanks." Or, "I think I'm just fine." And they don't want to do anything about their spiritual condition. They just turn away from what they've been taught. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 3, as we just read a couple of passages, verses above that a moment ago, notice what Paul is saying. He gave that admonition, verse 2, to preach the word. Now watch verses 3 and 4. "For the time will come," here's the reason, Timothy, you need to be engaged with preaching the gospel. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." They don't want to hear words of sound truth. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear the message that's contained in the Bible, the Word of God. Well, what are they going to do, Paul? Verse 4. "They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Paul warned Timothy that that was going to be the condition of individuals. And we see that today. You teach the gospel to individuals, or share with them the message of the gospel, and they turn their ears away from it. They don't want that. They'll go down the road until they eventually find a preacher that will tickle their ears. Preach what they want to hear. We got news for you. We're glad you're visiting with us, and we want you to come again, but you won't come here and find a message that is softened down to make it more palatable and digestible. We want individuals to know the truth. I say that kindly but firmly, to preach the gospel of Christ without hesitation. A lot of folks will turn away from it, but also we should think about attitudes and actions toward the Word of God. Peter points out that individuals stumble at the Word in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 8. Talking about Christ. Made the head of the corner, verse 7, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, verse 8. even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Some folks stumble at it. You can take some very simple Bible principles, and the Bible's simple for the most part. Some difficult things to be understood, but they're not impossible with time and with study. You take some of the most basic things that the Bible sets before us, and a lot of folks will stumble over them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 beginning, a lot of smart people in the world, I don't deny that. It's just amazing to me that they can put a man on the moon and perform brain surgery and do a host of other things, and yet they're not smart enough to learn the gospel and obey it, to be concerned enough about their spiritual well-being. In 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." The Jews stumble at it. The Greeks just think it's a bunch of foolishness. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Don't stumble over the Word. How are you doing on these things? What's your attitude? What's your actions being toward the Word of God? Number 7. We need to desire the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word." You desire to know what the Bible says. If you don't desire to know it, chances are you probably never will. You got to want to know what the book says. You need to make it a part of your daily life that you'll study and meditate upon the Scriptures, that you'll know what the Bible says. As Ethan, who did a good job in the reading, we appreciate him for it, read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 33, Cornelius said to Peter, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God." Now watch this. Here we are, Peter. We've sent for you. You've come. We're here. Why are you here, Cornelius? "To hear all things that are commanded thee of God." I hope you came to the service this morning because you wanted to hear gospel preaching, instead of a man stand here and just share with you funny stories, jokes, and humorous things, and just to get you to laugh. That won't do you a bit of good, much less get you to heaven. Desire the Word of God. When Paul and Barnabas went out on these missionary journeys they're often referred to, they come to the island, the Paphos, found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. And in Acts 13, verse 7, the Bible says, "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired..." What did he desire? Money? Humorous things? Desire to hear the Word of God. You've got to desire to hear the Word of God. Last point. We can gladly receive the Word. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bible talking about those of Thessalonica, he says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica," talking about the Bereans rather, "in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so." And again, over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and in verse 13, chapter 2 and in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as it were the words of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually," the King James Version says, New King James Version, other versions say, "which effectively worketh also in you that believe." They received it as it is in truth the Word of God. You have any idea what individuals will do when they will gladly receive the Word of God? You ever thought about that? I'll tell you what they will not do. They will not obey it if they fail to gladly receive it. You say, well, preacher, what will they do if they receive it, if they gladly receive it? Well, it's not guesswork in the book of Acts chapter 2. When Peter was preaching to the Jews on the day of Pentecost and he preached to them about Jesus, beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, on down through verse 36, they heard the word, they were pricked, stabbed, pierced in the heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 37. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Acts 2 and then verse 40. Now what's verse 41? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know what individuals will do today when they will gladly receive the Word of God? They'll obey it. You may be in the audience this morning, not a Christian. You may say, preacher, how do I become a Christian? You become a Christian by hearing the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. And I dare not add to or subtract or substitute for it. Maybe you have done that. But you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. But you want to be restored. You must confess your unfaithfulness unto God in prayer, having repented of that. Acts 8, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We'll pray with you and for you. If you gladly receive the Word, it'll be told as you come forward right now.